Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited about our guest this week. I'm not sure if you know who he is, but please let everyone know who's joining us.
I know him pretty well. He's an actor, a writer, and my roommate. You know him from UCB and his short film, Sperm was recently in the Berlin Film Festival. It's Josh Breckus.
Yay. Hello.
Hi, John. You are very the nice. Second roommate of mine to be on this show. How does
okay,
that feel?
Okay, well, that feels bad that you. I didn't even know. I've second choice. It's
you
fine. I blocked it. I blocked that memory.
Oh, I see. Not you didn't block my social media or anything.
No.
Thank you.
I would never
that
block.
You pour over.
Never. Yeah. Yes.
First thing you look at when you wake
That's
up.
That's my first thing when I wake up, so I know what's going on in the world.
Mark's tweeted something about a comic book movie.
Yeah.
Hot take, hot take.
Hot take.
Yeah, Mark asked if I liked spoilers today, and then I was like, well, I don't know, I might watch it, and then he gave me the spoilers to WandaVision.
He said, I don't know.
Yeah, it's true.
And did I really spoil anything?
Which
did
is you the exact same thing as consent, yes.
It's true.
Speaking of consent, Josh, what was your or John too, what was your guys like, do you have like any early acting experience? Like, what was your earliest memory of like actually acting? Like, did you do any community theater?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The first show I remember doing was at the community college. It was a production of Wizard of Oz. And I played a Munchkin, which sounds like I was in the ensemble, but it was a version of Wizard of Oz
where
there were extra scenes. There were extra scenes that were not in the movie. And
did your mother, did
lines.
You write this?
No, I did not. No, they wouldn't produce my version of it.
There were the a Wizard bunch of John.
For a Munchkin, and they gave all of them to me.
I see.
But I have video of it. In retrospect, some friends of mine, I watched again, and we realized that I was really cast as the faggot Munchkin. I was a little kid.
That's the story of your life.
Indeed. I had like a purple judge's robe, a hot pink like half cape that just like went down to like my waist, and like a little beret, and I had shoes that had a bit of a heel and a twirly toe.
But what did you wear in the show? That's funny, John. I was also I did children's theater when I was younger.
Nice.
I was also in The Wizard of Oz.
Okay, and who are you?
The Wizard.
Oh,
so maybe okay. Higher Whoa. Billing.
Maybe. I guess it depends on production values. I mean, you know.
This had a lot of tempera painted cardboard. Thank you very
Ooh,
much.
Wow. Okay.
I also did one show there. I was like, it was Return of Peter Pan. You know that famous play.
Oh,
and
yes.
I was Smee. And there was a scene where I was supposed to like get the pirates' names wrongs, and like the names were like Blue Dog, like a Red Tiger or whatever. And I was supposed to like mix them up. But in the show, I was really mixing them up. So I really was, but you couldn't tell, but I knew. So at the end, I said, oh, whatever the hell your name is. And I was like 11. Mm-hmm. And then that
brought down the house.
Brought down the house. The mayor was there, and I got a special.
Always.
Was his wife there? The mayor's one thing, but the mayor's wife, that's a whole lot.
She clutched her pearls and threw them on the stage.
I feel like that's a saying, the mayor's here. Is the mayor ever there?
It was Milpitas, a very small Bay Area city.
Wow.
But I was so embarrassed for swearing on stage.
Your method.
How about you, Josh?
No, I was too nervous. I was a very shy child. But I, my first experience, like in English class, I would, instead of a book, in lieu of a book report, I would ask my teachers if I could do a sketch. And I would basically copy an SNL sketch word for word and then like just apply like Ophelia or whatever we were reading, like whatever book we were reading, and just put the name. But I got that rush because people liked it.
Yeah. How was Mango like Huckleberry Finn, I wonder?
But my I started stand up in Scottsdale, Arizona in a little place called Entertainment Alley. Okay. And that was in a strip mall. By a steakhouse.
So it was a lie. Wasn't an alley.
Yeah, that's a good point. Wasn't. Yeah, that's a good point. I should bring it up to the owner. He might be dead. But I signed a lifetime contract with the guy that ran it, and he taught like stand-up classes. And so that's where I started doing stand-up, was like in this little strip mall in Arizona.
That's fun. Perfect.
It was all right. It was kind of sad.
Wait, you signed a lifetime contract?
Yeah, what does that
mean? Yes, I was like 22 and he's like, you got talent. Here's a contract in it. And I signed it. And then I looked back years later and it was like a lifetime contract.
He
was
but for what? Guy. Like to always get a
to be his spot? Manager. To be for him to be my manager.
Wow. I see.
No, I think it's a Chili's now. I don't think it's there.
You know, we call that a glow up.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Chili's. But no, nothing. No, I didn't have any Oz experiences.
I also did this other thing. I remember when I was a kid, I was briefly as a child pursuing acting, and I was in this, it must've been a scam. It was like a thing called Faces International. Ooh. Where it was like a book where they would put like headshots essentially.
Oh yeah.
Like,
it was a scam.
It was 100% a scam. Yeah. Yeah. I only ever got like two auditions, but like I would go to acting classes through them, but I was the only child. So it was me and like people in their 30s, and I'm doing like, I think I did a scene from like Tender Mercies with a woman where I was playing like her husband. Like it didn't make any sense.
People getting taken advantage of. I don't know.
Did they try to touch you anywhere, Mark? Did anything?
Just the acting bug is what
just,
yeah,
just your
which
heart.
Is what I call my prostate.
I bet your doctor loves that. My acting bug. No, but seriously, how am I down there?
I'm doing great. Speaking of doing great, today we're talking about Waiting for Guffman. John, what's the deal with Waiting for Guffman?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Waiting for Guffman. It was directed by Christopher Guest and written by Christopher Guest and Eugene Levy, with original musical numbers written by Guest, Michael McKean, and Harry Shearer. As the other mockumentary films created by Guest, the majority of the dialogue was improvised. And Waiting for Guffman tells the story of when the town of Blaine, Missouri approaches this sesquicentennial. There's only one way to celebrate, with a musical review called Red, White, and Blaine. Hoping the show will be his ticket back to Broadway, impresario Corky St. Clair rounds up a cast of enthusiastic but untalented locals to perform in his masterwork. But when Corky reveals that theater agent Mort Guffman will be attending the opening, things really kick into high gear. The cast includes Christopher Guest, Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara, Fred Willard, Parker Posey, Louis Arquette, Bob Balaban, and Matt Keeslar. It premiered on January 31st, 1997, and made $2.9 million off a budget of $4 million. Roger Ebert gave the film 3 out of 4 stars, writing, "Attention is paid not simply to funny characters and punchlines, but to small nudges at human nature." And that is the deal with Waiting for Guffman.
Well, so Josh, we asked you to pick a movie. Why Waiting for Guffman?
I think if I was to go back, is the first comedy I remember, because my dad knew I kind of liked, I used to do like really bad impressions and stuff. Well, I guess SNL was the first thing I watched, but he was like, watching it, and I remember walking in and I thought it was a real documentary, and I was like, this is the weirdest little town. And my dad, he pulled, I mean, this isn't a prank, he just let me believe it was a documentary until I think I was in like college, until I was like,
yeah, what were you in 1996?
I guess I was 12,
and she's stuck with you ever since.
Oh yeah. And then yeah, I just loved it. And I don't know. It's you like a lot of improvisation. You mm-hmm. just forget that they're doing that. It really does seem just well written, like character monologues and stuff like that. I don't know. I just love deadpan, super serious characters saying and doing the dumbest things, and it has always stuck with me.
How many times do you think you've seen it?
I've probably seen it like 10 times.
Pretty good.
Okay. Yeah.
John, what's your backstory with
my backstory? Yeah. I first saw it. My sister, I was living in New York, and my older sister was a flight attendant, and she would sometimes, if she had a layover nearby, she would just come and stay with us. And she came home one day and she was like, I heard about this movie that I think is really funny and I want to go watch it. So I knew nothing about it. And I was like, what is it? Like, it just sounded so weird to me. So I walked in not knowing anything. My dumb sister, she always has the dumbest ideas. And so I walked in totally cold, knowing nothing about it, and laughed so hard. Like, I literally fell out of my seat laughing in a movie theater at this movie. I thought it was so funny.
You literally fell 100%. Out of your seat?
Yes, not an exaggeration at all for comedic effect. And I have seen it, I couldn't tell you how many times. I feel like it's one of those movies that, like, I've shown to so many people. It was one of those movies that for years, if someone said they hadn't seen it, I'd be like, we're watching it right now. Like, we're stopping what we're doing. Back when I was doing more like regional theater and stuff like that, every cast, there would always be like a night where we'd be like, let's all stay up late and watch Waiting for Guffman. I honestly could not tell you how many times I've seen this movie. I think it is so funny. It's so smart. Watching it again, I was like, it still holds up. It's so great. I think of all the mockumentaries, I think this is definitely the best of all the Christopher Guest mockumentaries, to me, without a doubt. And I just love it. How about you, Mark? What is your history with Waiting for Guffman?
I mean, I don't remember the first time I've seen it. I just seen it a million times. I also feel like it's like one of those that's been on TV, but like it's been on HBO forever. So it's just whenever it's on, you can't not watch it. I just love, like it's just so like warm and kind to the characters. And it's just like sweet. Like, it's not really laughing at these people. You're laughing. They are ridiculous, but it's not, yes, it's a mockumentary, but they're not really mocking the characters. Like, there's such like a warmth, and you see the joy they get from the actual performance. I go back and forth between if this or Best in Show is my favorite.
I think Best in Show is more accessible, but I, for my money, this one's just funnier. And the thing that I think is the like the subsequent movies sort of, I don't want to say suffer from, but it's just like with this one, there was like these people. And then every time he does another one, it's like he has to have all of this core group of actors, introduce a few new ones. So by the time it was like the third and the fourth one, it was like, oh, you have to have parts for 20 different comedians who are all really funny, but it just becomes this like huge hodgepodge, like this mess of like so many characters that need to take up airtime instead of, whereas this one, it was like, it's basically these lean. Five people and that's it. And so I think that's what this one has really going for it.
It's clean. Then,
Best in Show's got Jennifer Coolidge and Jane Lynch together, you know.
That is so true. That's
true.
That's tough. Best in Show is great, but I, bigger for my budget, money, I think, right? Guffman's
bigger
a
budget,
little
right?
Bigger budget.
Mm, I'm sure.
And I got to imagine Waiting for Guffman's recouped its budget by now.
Oh, I'm sure. Do you know, I forgot to tell you, the first acting class I took in LA, and it was really bad, and I don't want to.
What? An LA acting class?
No. What? But I was.
The
I was,
Anthony Mendel School on Melrose?
No. It's even more underground than that. I was, okay, so I've done UCB, right? And that was about all I've done, that and stand-up. And I took this new class, and like, you need to bring in a monologue. So I brought in Corky St. Clair's monologue to the the community, the council.
Which monologue?
The bastard, you're bastard people. And I did it. I was basically doing an impression of Christopher Guest doing that monologue. And this was a bad acting class. So I was like, oh, I got this. And everyone stood there, didn't say a word. And she goes, what was that? And I was like, oh, it's Waiting for Guffman. And I think a lot of people hadn't seen it, but they're like, that's not what a monologue is supposed to be. You're supposed to come in and like be a character, like be yourself, not do this weird impression of someone doing a monologue. It was very embarrassing.
That sounds like you killed it, frankly. And pearls before where are those swine, people, now? I say. Yeah.
Yeah, where are those people? That's true.
Nobody. Other people in the class, just someone named Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah. J-Law was in my class.
Well, Josh, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movies ever. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge these movies. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. And at one point, you are going to add a category, and it will be added to the wheel. What does that mean? It doesn't matter. You'll figure it out when we get to it. But maybe just keep in the back of your head, you have to come up with a category. Okay. So let me just tell you, this is our current rankings. These are the current top five gayest movies ever with their score. With an 85.19% at number five, The Lost Boys. Number four with 86.92%, Death Becomes Her. Number three with 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Number two with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. And number one with a 94.83%, Female Trouble. So if you had to guess, where do you think Waiting for Guffman's going to end up?
And how many movies is this out of?
We are
or just 80 something. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what do you think the
score
is
going to
be?
It's going to be in the, like, the 40s, 50s?
In the 40s. 50s.
You think it's going to get that score or like in the top 40?
Top 40. Sorry. So 40, the score gotcha. Would be more what?
Around the 60s, yeah. Perhaps. Yeah. Yeah. All right. You're thinking maybe we got a Silence of the Lambs, Fried Green Tomatoes on our hands, is what I'm hearing.
Sure.
You really?
Okay. Maybe it's lower. I don't, you know what?
Well, there's only one way to find
system.
Out.
It's your system.
Why are you getting mad?
I'm mad.
Now Josh is mad. Everyone has to deal with that. Yeah. Welcome to my life, John.
You got to live with it. Wow.
All right, so our first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we're each going to give it a score between 0 and 100, and we take the average of all three of our scores. So, Josh, on a scale of 0 to 100, how would you rate Waiting for Guffman in actual gay characters?
Oh.
Well, there's at least two, I would say.
That's
we got
what I got.
Corky.
Corky and
Steve Michael.
Clark. Yeah, Michael Hitchcock.
Who compares Corky to Barbara Streisand?
Yeah, and has that. Yeah, yeah.
I do love when Steve Stark is losing his shit at the end of the show. Yes. Like, Corky! Did
you screaming. Pause it. You see the extra next to
next
him.
To him. Yes.
Yes. It's so, it makes it even better because he has like 60 hours of footage for that film. And, he's so funny. I love that part.
I love his intermission speech, which is when he prepares to Barbara Streisand.
Yes, yes. Okay.
There's two.
Trying to do quick math, guys.
Although Corky St. Clair does have a wife, Bonnie.
Never seen
but
her.
Come on.
Yeah. Well. 65.
I mean, he is on the poster, Corky.
That's true. He pretty much is the poster.
He is the poster.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, if you really think it's like a cast of five and it's like Corky. Oh, we don't know about Bob Balaban. He could be gay as well. He could be very quiet. So I'll go 66.
A gay person can't be quiet, John.
They have to be fabulous.
You said 56?
I said 66.
66. I'm going to go 57. Just because it's like 1.5. So giving it a 62.67, which is almost double what the Man from U.N.C.L.E. got.
Okay.
Pretty great. All right. Our next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Waiting for Guffman and come away with a whole book of ideas? I would say, I think so. Like everything Corky wears. Don't you think there are distinct looks in this? Like, especially like in the final show, like in their like Americana.
Yeah, with like
look.
Him with those high shorts and the beanie.
The Mars, even like the metallic suit. Nothing
the
good Martian, happens
yeah,
in
yeah.
Mars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I also think Sheila's hairsprayed bangs are pretty fun. Her like hairsprayed bang flap thing.
Oh yeah.
The like sea anemone on her forehead.
Right. Very Something About Mary.
Any girl in a Dairy Queen outfit?
I mean, there's this Dairy Queen. The Judy Tenuta sweatshirt.
The Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a Dairy Queen myself.
I don't know. I mean, like, I think it's great. And I think like people are inspired by it. Like there's so many lines. Like I have yet to do a show where someone doesn't say it's the day of the show, y'all, you know, since this movie has come out.
You do a lot of shows though in Alabama though.
That's true. Yeah. It's my home. You know, I signed that lifetime contract. So I have to keep going back there.
That's why Entertainment Holler, I believe.
Which is an actual holler. Thank you.
Thank you. They just have chili there now.
Mm-hmm. Not chilies. Am I given a score?
Yes.
Well, I didn't know
we're
I
still
went
talking
first
about
every time.
It. It's okay.
We're still chit-chatting, though.
I don't know. I think like it's low on like actual like looks though. I will say.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not from the season before. Mm-hmm. I forgot her name. That one.
Catherine O'Hara.
No, in drag
you mean
race.
In Drag Race?
Oh, Drag Race.
I'm going 80%.
80.
I think as far as visuals go, it's kind of low. I'm going to go 45.
45. I think you're both wrong, and the answer is somewhere in the middle. So I'm going to give it a 65, giving it a 63.33. Also, like, Corky's hair is pretty iconic. You know what I mean? The clearly wig.
And his like jean pants or whatever.
Yeah, that he's wearing backwards. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a
and
lot
his blue
there,
jumpsuit with like the American flag ascot. I mean, I think they're giving it a 63.33, which is, if you added up the total drag queen inspiration scores for Wedding Singer and Man from U.N.C.L.E., Waiting for Guffman would still be 3.33 points higher.
Okay.
Pretty good. All right. Our next category, gay icons. How would you rate Waiting for Guffman and gay icons?
Well, Catherine O'Hara and Parker Posey.
Right. Do you think there's a case to be made for Corky St. Clair himself being a gay icon?
I think so, but it's my understanding that there's a somewhat of an appraisal of his performance.
You mean a reappraisal?
A reappraisal, excuse me. Because, you know, Christopher Guest is straight, and here he is playing this character, which, I don't know, it's interesting. We sort of talked about this when we talked about The Prom, where it's like, I've never found Corky St. Clair offensive.
Well, no, because he feels paper, more like a fully, he feels like three-dimensional, even though he is like
does
a silly
does
comic.
He really feel?
You see his highs, you see his lows.
He's selling remains of the day lunchboxes. I don't know how.
But the joke is
a man with a Richard Simmons wall calendar.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, there's like a, he's shopping for a pantsuit for his wife, Bonnie. It is weird. Like, I can't, there's so much stuff that on paper seems like it should be offensive.
Right.
But my response has never been to be offended by it.
Well, because it seems like it's done with like love. It doesn't seem like it's coming from a place of like hate, you know, or being bad like James Corden.
Yeah. Or like it's a care. I almost want to. I think it's someone that he's knows in real life that he came like. You
I mean,
know?
He said it's like a composite of a lot of people.
Yeah, a composite of people that he was probably in acting class with or something. Or had a teacher. Corky St. Clair reminds me of some teachers I've
Oh yeah, it definitely reminds me of some people that I know.
So my rating for what is the category again? Sorry,
this is gay icon. We're just talking about
Is Corky St. Clair a gay icon? Like, I'm not getting a tattoo of them anytime soon. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
No.
But you have a lot of tattoos.
Right. I have so many tattoos.
Yeah.
Mostly Fred Willard.
Ah, he's great in this. I'm gonna go 46.5. Or just 46.
Not going to round up to 47?
No.
46.
Yeah, I mean, I think Catherine O'Hara, definitely. Parker Posey. I'll go definitely. 55.
I'm gonna go 64. That's mostly for Catherine O'Hara and Parker Posey. I do think Parker Posey is huge. Mm. I want her in more things. She's the only good part of Superman Returns. I'll say it.
Wow.
You know, everybody loves that movie. Giving it a 55, which is a 0.67 points higher than The Wedding Singer. So eat shit, Drew Barrymore.
Wow.
All right. Our next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form? I'd say the camera's not horny for anybody, really.
No, this is not a horny movie. You get a little bit like Matt Keeslar when we
Johnny
first
Savage,
see him. Johnny
also
Savage.
A porn star name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he's like, when we first meet him at the auto shop and he's
I do
that
think they do
shirt.
Dress him, yeah, intentionally to make him seem like, oh, this is someone Corky is attracted to.
yeah.
They're not, I don't think it's just how they dress him. I think it's everything Corky says and does and how he interacts with him.
Sexy is Parker Posey and that guy that we just talked about, I don't know his name, Savage or whatever, smoking
Savage.
Cigarettes. That's only sexually charged. Scenes
you,
for me.
Do you think someone smoking cigarettes is sexy? I mean, it is.
I do.
It
I,
is
and
definitely
I do, and
cool.
I, yeah, and I know cigarettes are bad and we need to get rid of them, but I hate the stigma that we need to get rid of characters smoking cigarettes in movies.
Thank you.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's sexy and we grew up on it. And,
did you ever see there was a PSA that came out a couple of years ago of like, it's like the big bad wolf in like a town full of like pigs. And like, it's a town full of pigs, but it's the big bad wolf comes into town and he's smoking and all the pigs are disgusted. But in the commercial, he's the coolest one. Like, he's like wearing a leather jacket, is smoking, and he looks awesome. Like, wouldn't you rather be a wolf instead of the pigs?
That wasn't the commercial. I thought
it was an anti-smoking PSA.
But I saw one where he can't blow the house down because he doesn't have enough lung capacity.
And that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And that was I was rock hard during that PSA.
Absolutely.
That's a child.
So for the male gaze, what would you give this?
I'm gonna say 30.
30.
Yeah, it's a mockumentary. It's not. Yeah, no, I didn't find any of it. Although the way where he's like hump dancing, right?
Oh yes. Right.
I'm gonna go back to a 45.
A 45.
Final answer. Final answer. Lock it in.
Locked in.
I think I'm gonna have to go 15.
Wow.
I mean, there's just sort of that one shot, really.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 12. Giving it an average of 24, which is still 3.67 points higher than The Wedding Singer. Pretty good.
Do you have something against the person that did The Wedding Singer?
No.
He's just one of the few that are on this thing that he can reference easily. Okay.
We're just on an updated score system. There's only three movies. So I only have two other movies to compare it to.
Sorry.
On my fingertip. All right. Our next category. Entrances with pizzazz. Are there entrances with pizzazz? It's not a pizzazzy movie.
No, but when Eugene Levy is playing Blaine Faven in Red, White, and Blaine, and he comes in on that wooden horse, that like two-dimensional
horse.
The bull.
Isn't he like riding a bull?
I'm sure it was a bull that was repainted to look like a horse.
Yeah. Also, like the narrator in the show, when he goes, oh, howdy. Like, yeah.
Didn't see you there.
Didn't see you there.
How much
McKinley
makeup
on the train?
Yeah.
The makeup on him is, oh my God.
It's wild.
There's your drag queen inspiration.
There you go.
Yeah.
A bold lip.
But you don't think in the actual play, in the movie itself, they're not grand entrances?
In the Blaine musical, Red, White, and Blaine, I think, yes, there are. But in the movie itself, it's not like, it's so like understated and grounded.
Yes,
that it's not like, it's not super stylish, and that's intentional.
There's also Fred Willard when he appears at the train. And what I love about that is when the car pulls away, all the other actors slowly like shuffle backwards as if they're moving.
Yeah, so entrances with pizzazz.
Oh, okay, well, fine.
You personally aren't being demoted anything.
But my movie is failing.
Okay,
I want to beat The Wedding
We've
Singer.
Got 200 more categories, don't you worry.
Don't you worry, there's a lot
I'm gonna
more.
I'm going to go 20.
20.
Yeah, that's not. I'll go 22. And partially 22. For the shuffling backwards, because I just think that's really funny.
An exit with pizzazz.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it a 21. Giving it a 21. All right. Wow. Our next category, Hell on Heels. Any spicy ladies not giving you what for in this?
I think Parker Posey.
Parker, especially when she loses it outside Corky's apartment.
There's that.
Yeah.
I also love Sheila getting drunk at dinner.
That's great.
Oh. One of the best drunk performances I've ever seen.
That is so.
Just so someone you have to manage.
Real. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so. She's in a bad marriage.
Really bad marriage.
Really bad.
Poor thing.
But that's about
it. That was it, right?
I think so. Everyone's pretty so much. Nice in this movie. It's not a lot of like hiding, really.
Yeah. Or it's all passive aggressive if it is that. Okay. You know, for fun though. For no. Fun. 19.
This is serious, Josh.
19. It is serious.
19. I do love when Libby is just cooking that one chicken
that
wing
one chicken
on
wing.
The barbecue. Oh, yeah.
I will go 27.
27. I'll go 23, giving it an average of 23. I didn't even mean to split the difference, but I did. All right. Speaking of cooking a single chicken wing on a barbecue, what are you going to give Waiting for Guffman in Macabre? How macabre is Waiting for Guffman?
There's a lot of alien abduction stuff in this.
That's true. Is that macabre or fantastic?
It can be both.
Sure.
I guess it depends what poor they do Paul with you. Dooley has been the anal probe several people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And David
I did
Cross
think it was macabre at the beginning when the one guy won snipers for the Blade Festival.
That was
the gun rack made out of deer hooves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Ron training Sheila to change her instincts, I thought was macabre.
Yes.
Yeah, their whole relationship is pretty dark.
Hours of notes he gives her.
Hmm.
But other than that, I don't think it's
No, that's more sad.
When it's not Guffman, you mean?
Yeah.
You think the ending when the talent producer doesn't show up is like obsessed with death?
Death of the show.
Death of the show.
Death of the dreams.
Oh.
God. Yeah. No.
Did you guys ever have a thing where like so-and-so is going to be here to like watch our show? I know you've done a lot of
when I was in Gypsy, Stephen Sondheim came and saw the show. but he was apparently very drunk.
Oh, well.
Is there any other way for him to be?
I mean, how many productions of Gypsy has he sat through in his life? I don't blame him.
I truly thought Amy Poehler would pop into UCB.
All the time?
I thought she'd be in the advanced class. Or oh, 301 or 401.
In your class? She'd just take a 401 as a brush up.
Keep it up, guys.
Keep it up.
She'll just tag in on a scene.
So macabre. I'm going to say 40 because I heard four examples, and that's the most logical way.
I'll go, was it Area 42?
Area 51?
Then I'll go 51.
Area 42. That's your favorite restaurant or something.
Yeah, that's your favorite restaurant.
It's been so long.
They've never heard of Area 51. They just.
No, huh?
What's the 42nd restaurant in the mall? Yeah.
We're on 42nd Street.
I'm going to give it a 32. I don't think it's a very macabre movie. Giving it a 41. All right, our next category, dramatic lighting. This is kind of like Entrances with Pizzazz, I feel like. It's pretty much only dramatic once the show
starts. In Red, White, and Blaine.
Yeah, or the green when the alien ship's landing.
There was also a thing in the song Penny for Your Thoughts, when like it emerges, there's someone who's like a stagehand holding a lamplight walking by. Like as if to like show that they've been walking a long time, far on the street. And I thought, that's very dramatic.
Truly, you have someone embody the lighting. I once did a show, it was a dumb UCB sketch show, where we had the ashes of Julia Child were in an ice bucket. And we had a man, our friend Danny Cohen, composed the theme song to the show. He was dressed all in black animating it so she could fly around the stage. And we had someone off mic doing the voice of Julia Child.
Wow.
Okay. So I get it.
You understand drama. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, what do you want to give this for dramatic lighting?
I don't think there's.
It's no Suspiria.
No. 22.
22.
For that street lamp, I'm going to go 33.
33. Wow. Justice for the street lamp. We got to get that hashtag trending. I'll go 25. Giving it a 26.67, which is 24 points higher than The Wedding Singer. Wow, kicking that rapping granny's teeth in.
Yeah, I'm kicking Wedding Singer's ass, right? Yeah. That's how this works.
We'll see. All right, our next category, vibrato.
So for this category, in addition to literal vibrato, we also mean anytime they take something, give you a little extra and you like it. They sort of zhuzh up a moment you don't need, but they give it to you and you enjoy it.
I would say like Catherine's O'Hara. Well, pretty much everyone's performance within the show is like,
I think,
extra.
I think Corky's apartment is pure vibrato.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, what about just doing the whole show?
I mean, there's literal vibrato. They're singing.
Yeah. No, but also that the
we see so much of Red, White, and Blaine.
Like the whole show. Yeah. Like usually I like always almost forget that. I was telling Mark when I watch it, I'm like, oh yeah, they like show basically a whole show.
Initially
show.
there's actually several numbers that they've cut, like the initial I read in IMDb trivia, thank you, in the original like cut of it, like 40 minutes of the movie was Red, White, and Blaine.
Great.
Wow, that's great.
And I've seen a bunch of the cut numbers and they're delightful,
but it would be a little long, right, if we put two more in there.
Probably, yes.
I do think it's very extra when Nothing Ever Happens on Mars, how many extra borings there are.
boring.
Yes.
You know what? I'm gonna surprise y'all with an 84.
84.
I'm gonna go
LA Olympics.
I'm gonna go even higher because I think they do such a fun job of taking every moment. Like I love also in the show when they're doing just the overture and there's the guy who's like playing the trumpet and also like hitting the timpani. Like there's so few moments that I feel like they didn't go, what can we do to this? Like how, like I feel like every opportunity was taken just throughout this whole movie. So just the density of it and jokes that like no one mentions, no one like calls out. It's not like the point of the moment, but there's just stuffed with them. So yeah. I'm going to go 96.
96.
Yeah.
I do think that I do like that Red, White, and Blaine. Like, it's not like you're not like laughing at. It's not like, oh, this show is so bad, it's good. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like there's this. So it's charming.
Yeah.
And like the text, like the dialogue is like stupid, but in a fun way.
But it's you're glad you're not there in person and they're not real people doing it. That's what I felt. I was like, I could watch this whole performance. Well, if it was someone you actually cared about doing that performance, you'd be like, well, your life choices are wrong.
If you were Dr. Pearl's like a brother-in-law or something.
Yeah. But also they even had that scene with David Cross where it's just one scene and then he's not even in the movie anymore. Right? But it did, but it felt almost necessary.
That, well, it gives you a flavor of the town.
Yes.
Yeah. Setting the table.
I'll give it a 83, giving it a 87.67.
Wow.
All right. And speaking of that musical numbers, Footwork. How would you rate Waiting for Guffman in Footwork? Well, there's the aforementioned walking backwards as the train leaves.
Mm-hmm.
I do really love the kicking in Penny for Your Thoughts.
Yeah.
What do you call that?
The choreo.
Is there a name for when you're like kicking your foot out like to a point?
I think they're called bat-mas.
Excuse me.
You're welcome.
Wait, not a bon mot.
Even the whole dance that they have is basically them like.
Yeah, there's so much choreography.
Yeah, there's so much.
And it's like fun. Like, I couldn't do that.
You could.
You think I could figure it out?
Yeah, I think
you definitely could do it.
You put I some need time. To practice.
Yeah, I mean, not that much practice, but.
You don't want to lose the magic. You know, you don't want to you don't want to overdo it.
It doesn't want to be routine. I think there's a, I'm going to go 67.
67.
I will go 81.
81. I'll go 82. Oops. Sorry. All right. Don't worry. Everything's fine. 82. Giving it a 76.67. I accidentally erased my Footwork score for The Wedding Singer.
Oh.
Thank God for Command Z. Am I right?
You don't like whoever did The Wedding Singer, and I know it.
Erin McGowan. She was a pure delight.
Oh, delight. No, she's great. Okay. Now I feel bad.
All right. Speaking of feeling bad, how would you get, what are you going to give Waiting for Guffman in Spank Bank deposits? Anything you could file away to the old Spank Bank besides Parker Posey smoking?
But that could count if you wanted to.
That could count.
It's not a very sexy movie.
Not a very sexy. It's not a horny movie.
I'm going to say that. It's not a horny movie. If you get horned up for that movie, you know.
I mean, Matt Keisler is nice to look at.
Yeah. I mean, that's what he's there for, to just be sexy eye candy.
Yeah, but he's not even.
You know, he's retired now. He like went to like medical school and now he's like a mold scientist or something.
That's great.
Wow.
He left in like 10 years. Like, he left acting 10 years
ago. Because I saw his IMDb and I was like, he didn't.
Where'd he go?
Where'd he go?
But now he's solving. He's curing diseases. So he's not in CSI Vegas. So who made the right choice?
Well, depends if that show could cure.
Maybe he's just selling mushrooms. Is that really probably what he's
doing? Probably what it is. He's actually, it seems like he's pretty well regarded. He's a.
All the mole scientists you've spoken to speak very highly of him.
His biology thesis explored the effects of anti-malarials on the brains of frogs.
Frogs love them.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That sounds smart. Sounds like he's doing a good thing.
I can do it, although maybe with some practice.
Maybe.
Let's see.
You haven't tried yet, so you don't know if you can do it.
I think it's only the cigarette smoking for me. I do find Michael's love for Corky attractive.
That turns you on?
I do like the hidden.
You'll
like,
file that away to your spank bank?
No, probably not.
this is breaking news.
Wow.
I'll go the chicken wing on the grill.
Chicken wing. You wish you were that chicken wing.
Yeah, and then the smoking, it's going to come up to about a 25.
25.
I think unfortunately it's just for me that one scene where the sleeveless scene with Johnny Savage. I'm gonna go 11.
11. Yeah, I'm gonna go 7, giving it a 14.33, which is still 6 points higher than The Wedding Singer, but about 18 points lower than The Man from U.N.C.L.E. All right, Josh. Yeah. This next category, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Waiting for Guffman to a gay person?
A 95.
Yeah, it's pretty high. If I knew someone, I mean, it wasn't just gay people, but if someone's like, you haven't seen this, you have to see this movie. It's so funny. I'm trying to think of someone who I would be like, nah, you don't need to watch this.
Yeah, right. I feel like everyone in my family likes this movie. You know, I'm surprised it's rated R, I guess, because there's a few like F-bombs, but.
Yeah.
Yes. Hate your stupid ass face. I'll go 99.
99. Wow. What's keeping it from the 100, John?
I'm sure I know some born gay people who would be like, you know what? You don't deserve it.
Wow.
Like a log cabin Republican or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, he's gatekeeping Waiting for Guffman. I'm going to give it 100. I think everyone should watch this movie. Give it a 98. All right, now we are into the wheel categories.
Wait, hold on. That had to be Man of Uncle. I have never seen that movie.
The Man from Uncle?
Yeah, I've never. That had to beat it, right?
Man from Uncle got an 80 in like the recommend to gay people. And Wedding Singer, 38.33.
Yeah, Adam Sandler. Yeah.
So we're the wheel categories. So these are all categories that previous guests have brought in. I put them all in this wheel, which is really an app on my phone. Okay. So we're going to spin it four times. Whatever category randomly pops up, that's how we will judge the movie. And then you will add your cat, come up with a category, which you will add to the wheel, which you remember from earlier this podcast.
Remember that?
I do remember that.
Were you confused when I first brought up the idea of the wheel to you?
No.
You weren't.
No, I've listened to the podcast,
Mark. Oh.
He doesn't want me to listen to it for this reason.
Yeah, so he can be a bully.
He's just lured it over.
This is bullying? I'm just asking
this
questions.
Bullying me.
Oh, yeah, you're just asking questions.
Where did you get
just
that
like
shirt?
Like a QAnon person.
Yeah. They're just asking.
They have the answers, trust me.
They have the answers.
All right, well, first category, I think you're pretty lucky. A feels song.
A feels song. Is there a song that puts you in your feels?
Penny for your thoughts.
Penny for your thoughts. It is very sweet moments.
Yes, actually that did, because they're all basically kind of joke songs. That one really did make me feel like, oh, they're trying, you know?
Yeah,
like,
for your thoughts, does it go like dime for your time? It just keeps going.
It just keeps
so stupid.
But that's
they're perfectly
that's
stupid.
That's the
lyrics.
Only one. I think that's the only one.
It's the only real ballad. Everything else is an up tempo.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, I think that registers as a 30, right? I think that's how we're doing it. If it's just one scene.
If you want to. Or it's sort of just like, is there a song that puts you in your feels?
Yeah.
And how
oh,
much
yes,
does
yes.
that
it could
song
be more than
do?
One. Yeah.
I think that's the only one that actually made me go like, oh, yeah. So that one definitely did.
Okay.
But I
okay.
think that's it though.
All right. A 30.
Yeah, I'm going to go higher because I think it's impressive that in the midst of all these sort of ridiculous songs, it is still ridiculous, but is still also sweet. And also like to see the reaction of everyone in the audience.
Everyone's loving it.
Especially, you know, Michael Hitchcock. So I will go 72.
72. You've never been more in your feels.
No, I have. That's what 73 and up is for.
Not by my math. I'm going to give it I'll give it a 54. These are all pretty fun. Giving it a 52. A feel song is from our submarine episode.
Oh.
With Edgar Montplaisir.
Wow, I'm familiar with him.
You know him.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Felt.
Felt, a classic all-timer category. How would you rate Waiting for Guffman on Felt? I feel like there must be in the show, you would think. But maybe not. It's so cardboard.
Actual Felt?
Yes.
Well, I wasn't watching the movie for this. Let me think.
Welcome to our world.
Just want to stop and rewatch it again.
Yeah, let's just watch it real quick.
I think a lot of stuff in Corky's apartment, excuse me, he's got a ton of like he's got like macrame owls in there. Like he's got definitely some like homemade arts and crafts going on there. I think definitely some of their costumes have got to be.
Well, the opening scene, then that whole that's not really the whole downtown is poorly made.
Oh, sure.
The little
yep. Oh, the little like diorama.
Thing. Yeah, they're tearing the little diorama. I feel like this is a very felt movie, right? The whole movie. I don't know.
It's a tough one. One thing we have learned is that felt is a process.
Yeah, it's not an actual thing.
I'm gonna go 50.
50.
Yeah, I'll go because I'm sure Corky's got some. So I'll go 61.
61. I'm gonna go 40. Giving it a 50.33. You got a lot of felt in your room?
I don't think so. Do you?
No.
No. My mom does. Oh, my mom would be.
No reason to brag.
Oh, well, I'm just saying.
If we ever judge your mom's, how gay is your mom's house? That's our next podcast series.
Okay, here we go. Another classic one, Pool Trouble.
Pool Trouble. Well,
there is that scene where he goes to ask for more money. He asks for $100,000 and said the whole budget is $15,000. And that includes the pool.
Oh.
So, you know, there's not, pools are considered, at least in this movie.
They're considered, but they're not featured.
They present like an existential crisis.
Yeah.
As they often do.
Right.
Is there something to like a casting pool? Like what's the pool of talent? What's the talent pool in Blaine?
Yeah, they showed a couple. The guy that does the scene from, is it Raging Bull?
Yes. Yeah.
That gets me every single, he's amazing. Why isn't that man not in
Fuck My Wife?
Fuck My Wife? So we got casting pool, a reference to a pool. I'm guys, this is gonna be my first single digit. I'm going five, but I'll go high. Nine.
A nine.
Yeah, I'll go 11.
11. I'm gonna go 8.
Okay.
Giving it a 9.33. Pool Trouble from our Gremlins episode with Steve Slaga.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Dramatic smoking.
Dramatic smoking.
There we go.
It's no Mad Men, which is a TV show, I realize, not a movie.
Thank you.
But it will be a movie.
Have you seen this franchise?
Have you seen this Mad Men franchise? Tons of movies.
It's like 80 movies.
I mean, what, we got two characters that smoke.
Right. We got the chicken wing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's also, very dramatic moment. Yeah. Johnny Savage smokes a lot. I feel like that is his character.
And then also they talk about the production of Backdraft he did, where he had the light stuff in the vents.
He lit newspapers in the vents.
And you got the, no one likes that poking at you, that little fire poking at you.
Yeah.
There's some fire there.
That, I wish we had seen Backdraft, the musical.
Yeah, we just got those production photos, unfortunately.
I thought they could have done a lot of, they could have branched out and done more. There should have been Winnie Guffin 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah,
several seasons. Need more seasons of that movie. I'm gonna go with a 66.
66.
Yeah, it's not like a super dramatic smoky movie, but there's a lot of great fun stuff in there. So I will go. Is there smoking in Red, White, and Blaine? There is that fun effect with the fire where it's like there's obviously like a fan blowing up what's supposed to look like flames.
That's more flames than smoke.
True, but where there's smoke, there's fire. So
I've never heard that. Did you just make that up?
It's cross stitch in a Corky's apartment, and it's made of felt. So
I got to see the versions of movies you're watching.
Yeah. I had the DVD, so I got a few extras in it.
I see.
I will go 62.
62. I'm gonna go 40, giving it a 56. All right, Josh, the time has come for you to add a category that we could use to judge Waiting for Guffman and then add it to the wheel to judge future movies on how gay they are.
Okay. Well, the first thing that popped in my mind, I don't know if it's even referencing Waiting for Guffman, but I thought fun.
Fun, fun, fun. So how would like we sort of break that down?
How much fun is there to be had in the movie?
Fun, exclamation point.
I mean, we do that on our Patreon series. We have a category called "Oh, that's fun" a lot. So this seems like similar.
Well, yeah, I think now I have to. Come
this
up
seems like the straight version.
No, we don't have it on.
It's carefree fun.
Great, I love fun.
I said fun
with an exclamation point after each one. Yeah. Okay, so what would you give Waiting for Guffman for fun?
Well, as we've said, it's subdued, it's deadpan. But
so heavy.
I'm having...
It's like a Lars von Trier movie.
There's really no...
There's really an answer in the dark. Yeah, the same thing.
Oddly enough, I would give Best in Show a higher score.
Because of dogs.
Because of the dogs.
Yeah.
It's brighter. You know, it's a brighter movie.
The bigger budget.
Yeah, but I'm going to give, for fun, the category I just made up. So this should set the tone of the grading, but we'll see. 83.
I will go higher because this movie again just tickles me constantly. So many things. You could just tell that all of the performers were like inspired by each other and trying to like one up each other in like that great way that happens, I think, with any improv show, whether it be like a movie or like a show. Like that's the most fun is when everyone is like, oh, you're doing that? Well, wait, you see what I'm bringing to the table.
Yeah.
So I will go.
You like competitive improv.
Yes.
You
like, it's like, but like delightful, loving competition.
Yes. I'll and go, we'll see.
Yes. And top this.
So I'm going to go 96.
To be fair, John's tramp stamp tattoo does say top this.
Yes. Top this.
And I don't regret it. Never have.
Why would you?
That's the tattoo above the one. That says, and I don't regret this.
It's busy every Saturday night. Yeah. I'm going to give this 100. I mean, what's more fun than Waiting for Guffman?
Yeah.
Giving it a 93. All right, Josh, now we are moving into the bonus category.
So these categories we're going to rate from 0 to 10, and they're just bonus. So if it doesn't score well in any of these categories, it's fine. It's not going to affect the score negatively. These are just extra bonus points.
Okay.
All right, so the first one. This could be interesting. Musical potential. Could Waiting for Guffman be a musical?
Yeah.
Like, absolutely.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
There's a theater in Chicago that was running it for like late at night. They did Red, White, and Blaine. They added the cut songs and they apparently added some other new songs. But they have apparently been asked, they were approached apparently several times to do this live and they just kept saying no. But
imagine they brought the whole cast to do it.
Could you imagine?
Could you imagine?
Sell it in a second.
Yeah. I'm 10. Hey.
A 10.
Yes. 10 as well for me.
I'm also going to give it a 10. What are other like putting on a show musicals where you see them like, we got a show. And then at the end, you see the show.
I mean, there's The Producers. It's not like the end of it, but there's definitely that. A Mighty Wind, which is another one. There's the concert.
Oh, they did that live. All right. Our next category, Queer Menace. I always rate Winnie for Guffman as for queer menaces. I definitely think Corky's a queer menace when he's confronting the city council, when it says, "Oh, you bastard people."
Bastard people. Yeah, it's pretty.
A bit of a queer
but
menace.
But he's not like, menace, I'm thinking, is more like the gay villain. You know what I mean? Or like, he's not, he's just like, I don't think he's like a menace people. There. I think he's just acting him. Out.
Well, he did
if,
act
what
out,
is a menace if not someone acting out?
Mm.
I think many things, but all right.
Just because I agree. I think a queer menace, like you can agree with them. And I think, you know, he's like menace. He's literally reading them to filth.
I think like to me, queer menace is like these queers are coming in and they're ruining something. And I don't think that to me is not what that moment is.
Well, I have to grade on one definition. Menacing. I'll split the difference. I don't think he's very menacing, but he did halt the production. Right,
it's true.
Well, he walked
Parker
away
Posey.
From it.
He walked
Bob
away.
Bob Albin was supposed to take over, but then we know none of it.
Corky knows he's the one holding this together.
Yeah, but I'm going.
But
low.
None of his demands were met.
No,
that's true.
Three.
Have to a three.
I'll give it a one.
A one. I'm also going to give it a three, giving it a 2.33%, which is the highest we've had in Queer Menaces. All right. Our next category, character actress makes a big swing.
I mean,
problem here though, like for these actresses, I don't think this is big swings for them. I think this is right in their ballpark. You know what I mean?
No, like, Parker Posey said she had never improvised before this movie.
Oh.
Well, there you go. Well, then certainly not Catherine O'Hara.
No, she goes even bigger.
But she makes like such huge, great choices that are so fun.
I know, but they just don't seem like wild. They seem like, oh, this is what she's actually great. This is what she's great at. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not like when you see Charlize Theron in Monster kind of, you know what I mean? It doesn't feel as it's not a dramatic swing. Like
the bangs weren't that crazy.
You know what I mean?
The bangs were pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think she's making great, big, bold choices. And like, I don't know. I applaud anyone who's keeping up with Fred Willard, you know, and especially since it's like, she has to be this submissive person to his character, but she still like finds a way to honor that but hold her own and still do great stuff. And I think that Chinese the drunk scene, like that's incredible.
So
you just
fun.
Said so yourself. Yeah. It's one of the best drunk scenes.
I do, but I think, I don't know, to me she's not, it doesn't seem like it's outside of her comfort zone at all.
Well, I don't
it's
think
not a swing outside your comfort zone, it's just a big swing.
Well, this we I'm just saying, this is my interpretation.
Okay. I think it's some pretty bold improvising, even if they're seasoned, right some bold swings. I'm gonna give it a 7.
A 7.
I'm going 10. I think that they both really knock it out of the park and make really great, big, bold choices.
I'm also going to give it a 7. Don't come at me. Giving it an average of 8, which is double what The Wedding Singer got.
All right.
Our next category, witches. How witchy is Waiting for Guffman? It's not very witchy.
It's not really witchy.
There's something witchy about cooking a chicken wing on a single chicken wing on a barbecue,
and the woman behind
like
her,
a cauldron. Yeah,
the woman behind her was an actual witch. I
didn't pick up on that.
Yes, she's very scary. Was staring down the barrel of the camera.
I see.
Which
yeah.
I love.
Yeah, it was Margaret Hamilton. Yeah,
sure.
Witch? It's not witchy, right?
No, it's not.
0.5.
I'll go 0.
I'm also going to go 0. Giving it a 0.17%, which is actually 0.5% lower than The Wedding Singer. Oof.
Wow.
All right. Our next category, gay actors playing gay roles. Well, there's Michael Hitchcock, but I did some research. Inconclusive. Although he was a groundling.
Right.
So you're really flipping a coin in that case.
Yeah. And Christopher Guest, obviously not married to Jamie Lee Curtis, who we love.
Yes.
That doesn't make
him gay.
Yeah.
No.
I had a fun interaction with Michael Hitchcock after a show one time, though.
Oh, yeah? Did he suck your dick?
I know. I just made that seem like it was. No, he was really nice.
Fun.
Yeah,
He's such a good kisser.
He's such a good kisser. That's normal interaction. No, he was just super complimentary. And I felt a spark.
Wow.
But that, I can't define this man from that. That's not fair.
Yeah.
I mean, you give off
sparks with everyone you speak with.
Thank you.
It's more of a reflection of you.
And that's
why we call you the living flint, I believe.
Yes, the living flint. I'll start a one. No. One, just because I don't know.
Yeah, I'll go one as well. That's what I was going to say, one.
That's fair. I think we're all being safe. We're all being giving it a one. All right, next category. Themes of mothers. What do we think about the themes of mothers? Well, the only thing, Mr. Debbins isn't blamed because his niece had a baby.
Was that? And there's the one woman, she said she's a direct descendant of Blaine Faven.
Oh, right.
So she knows what it's like to be a Kennedy.
So it's pretty low.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a lot of.
I'm going to give it another one.
Well, one for barely mentioning mothers.
I'll go 0.5.
0.5. Oops, 0.5. Yeah, I'm also going to give it a 0.5. Giving it a 0.67, which is a lot lower, about 4.33 points lower than The Wedding Singer. Oof.
Wow.
All right. You're slipping. All right. Our next category, pearl clutching.
I think there's a bunch of the townspeople when they're watching the show, they're so overwhelmed. They're so like, oh my goodness. And there's Ron and Mrs. Pearl themselves.
Wow, literal.
Because there's that scene where he's being coached and he's like, yeah, dig in there and like really like grab your nipples for like how high ridge. So there's literal Pearl clutching himself.
Sure. Dr. Pearl. There is a moment where Johnny's dad seems a little turned off by Corky.
Suspect of Corky.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I don't think
what
I
are you doing
this
here in our
check that tire.
In the body shop, as it were.
Yeah.
Thank you. He's one to talk, working in a body shop.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not a very pearl clutchy movie.
No, I'd give it a two.
A two.
I'm going to give it a four because I think the townspeople are like so overwhelmed by the show, which is part of what like is fun about it. And I think that might be part of the secret of like why it doesn't feel mean. Is that like everyone responds to it in a way that like, this is amazing.
They haven't failed. They win in the end.
Yeah.
They don't get to go to Broadway, but nobody does.
No one.
All right. Our next category.
What did you give it, Mark?
I gave it a three.
Okay.
Quips. How quippy is Waiting for Guffman? I think it's pretty constantly quippy.
Yeah, one of the quippiest.
It's definitely like quotable.
Oh,
it's not like, I mean, I think they overlap a bunch. I think we've done that in the past. But as far as like, oh, that's a put down. Although like, I hate your stupid ass face is a good one. And your bastard people.
Your bastard
people. But are we saying quippy like back and forth? Or...
Yeah, I do. There's just like tons of just fun lines too. Just even if they're not joke, like just like when she was Corky, we want you to live. That whole thing. Or when they get when the note comes from Mr. Guffman and Parker Posey says, what does this mean, Corky? I don't know. It's just like so.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that they're like
a lot of it.
Quips though.
Yeah, a six.
A six.
I'm going to have to go. I'll go three.
Three? This is crazy. I'm giving it a nine.
I think it's insanely quotable, but I just don't think it's like quippy. It's not like a whole lot of like sharp, like queens at brunch, like putting, you know what I mean? Like
not every quip has to be a put down.
Yeah, but I think like there's a difference between quotable and quippy. And I just think like it's insanely quotable. If this is quotable, I give it a 10. I give it a 15, but you wouldn't let me. But like,
no.
But as far as like quips
that's
go,
math. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've read that book, your book, John. Quotable versus quotable.
Hell, you're the one person who downloaded
it. It's very confusing. Yeah.
There's footnotes within footnotes.
It actually just, it turns into just a tongue twister book.
Yeah. It's not quotable, ironically.
No, it's not quotable. No. Very much not quippy.
In retrospect, it was bad. Yeah.
In retrospect. All right. Finally, we're into the iconic categories.
So now we're back to 0 to 100, and these are just broader, more umbrella categories.
Okay.
All right. So the first category, 0 to 100, what are you going to rate Waiting for Guffman in homoeroticism? How homoerotic is this movie?
Mm.
It's not very.
There's
not
the aforementioned very. Johnny Savage, but there's also that little moment where Corky's talking about, like, you know, just fresh off the bus with a tube of chapstick and a dance belt.
Dance belt. Mm-hmm. That gets you going.
Well, you know, it
the implications.
It's like, I know what this night's going to be about.
Yeah.
I guess, are they implying that people use chapstick for lube?
I believe so.
That's wild to me.
If you don't have the money.
I guess you only,
if you're from if you're from a small town before the internet, sure. You're like,
just
right,
got off the destroyer. Didn't he just get off a destroyer?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So how homoerotic is it?
I'm going to have to.
Although Michael Hitchcock is very much like in love.
Yeah.
But that's almost more like fandom worship than like sexual. You
yeah.
know?
Like he could true. Almost cross the line to being like
a stalker.
Like he, yeah. A stalker.
Yeah.
Like he's one of those Taylor Swift fans who, if you say one wrong thing, like your day is ruined.
Your day is ruined.
Your day. I wish it was just a day.
I told you not to tweet your review of Folklore, John.
I just had a few notes.
Too long.
Too long.
We need 14 songs.
A 10.
A 10.
Yeah, I'll go 10 as well.
10. I'm going to go 6. Giving it an 8.67. All right, our next category, over-the-top wardrobe.
Oh.
Corky had a lot of over-the-top stuff, definitely.
Yes.
Can his haircut count?
Yeah.
Sure.
As wardrobe?
Absolutely.
The show costumes, I think, are pretty over-the-top.
Yeah, and I also thought what was funny is, like, it seemed like they didn't try any of them on before the show.
Yeah.
Because they're backstage, like, where's this? What isn't this? And they're like, oh, I had to get rid of that, or try this on. It was like, you didn't have a single
She ate too many Sundays.
That's right.
Fred Willard and Catherine, they're
matching
jumpsuits.
Yeah,
tracksuits. What they wear at the
audition. There's that weird gypsy looking woman, like she's got all the stars.
The belly
like
dancer.
She's Arizona.
But even when they're at work at the tourist
the travel agency,
yeah, agency, whatever. Like they have that matching like Hawaiian. I thought there's a lot of. I'm gonna go 74.
74.
I'm getting up.
Wow,
there.
Up there with Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Well, this that Judy Tudor sweatshirt does a lot. Yeah, I'll go 78.
78. I'm gonna go 60. I don't think it's that crazy, but it's fun. Giving it a 70.67. Finally, camp factor. How campy is Waiting for Guffman?
I mean, it's that tough question of like camp in the, like, it's knowing camp if it is campy.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not these not people don't know what they don't realize how ridiculous they are right now.
Right.
So it's like very like smart, considered camp if it's that. But I think it's pretty campy. Like, I think, again, like, Corky's wardrobe is very campy.
Yeah.
So many weird, like, that last scene where he's took, like, his shop and all the stuff he sells. Like, those bobbleheads and remains of their lunchboxes and, like...
Can you have a grounded... Is it... Could it be a grounded campiness to it? Does that make sense?
I think
sense?
So.
Well, you can always have... You're always can have, like, campy elements within things. You know what I mean? That there's moments or instances. For instance, I have a quick list of campy things I noticed. Here we go. Porta potty placement planning. Doing an interview in pajamas. An onstage production of Backdraft. Crop circles. Being from New York carries a lot of weight in Blaine. Using theatrical slang. Watching Corky St. Clair designing the show's costume. Scrabble clubs. Theatrical warm-up exercises. Describing being a travel agent as a glamour profession. Sheila demonstrating less is more acting. Pigs in a blanket. Corky's monologue about arriving in New York with only a dance belt and a tube of chapstick. The alliances that form during a theatrical production. A group getting quiet during someone's upsetting phone call. Seeing a play in a gymnasium. The electric charge that passes through everyone backstage when you're at places. Whenever the show's narrator gets to join in on the final number. Giving a newborn baby a balloon. And finally, my dinner with Andre action figures. In addition to everything else we've mentioned. I mean, Judy Tenuta alone.
Yeah.
That's like 20 points.
I yeah.
I think the back half is pretty campy, right?
Of
the
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's also like a campsite where he's like, oh, you snuck up on me.
It's not there like when we watched
so
the
campy.
Mark, it's not like when we watched the apple, right? That, if no, we were doing the apple, that's 100.
We'll see.
That's what's
we'll
it's see. Such a different, well, okay. We it's because the tone is so. You know what? I'm gonna go. No, I'm going like a 72.
72.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty campy, but they're so aware of it. They're so in control of it. So I'm actually gonna go. I'm gonna go 89.
89. Also, just anything set within like putting on a show just kind of elevates it. I'm gonna go 90. And I remembered the less is more acting. So I'm going to update my character actress, makes a big swing, score to a 9.
I thought you just said end, like it was the end of the the podcast.
End.
Like, you got to work on a better sign off.
Quick.
I don't know.
You're on thin ice. All right, finally, we're into the crown jewels.
So these categories, we don't rate them. It's we all agree. It's either it gets the bonus or it doesn't.
Okay.
So the first one, a 15% bonus point for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. I mean, I could go either way with it. I don't have a strong feeling either way.
I kind of feel, especially since he's closeted, part of me is saying no, even though like I love it. And I don't think it's homophobic.
No.
But I don't think it's like a... I don't know. It's like, I can't imagine like do any, enough. And also like, if you were to say to someone, oh, you remind me of Corky St. Clair, that wouldn't be a compliment.
Right.
I got a lovely apartment. I have friends who worship me.
Oh, is it my dinner with Andre action figures?
If I leave, the show falls apart. I don't think it's that bad.
I think that was the one thing they could have. Yeah. I don't think he needed to be closeted. I don't know if that joke didn't. That was like the only joke that didn't really
it's just like
land the, I think for it's me. Like, it was like,
It was 1997 or 98 whenever they made it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't think it gets it.
No, unfortunately.
All right. Finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
Oh, thank God.
Whew, that was close, Josh.
Worried.
All right, Josh, we're done. That's it.
So how do you think you did? Do you still think you're in the top 40?
I think I beat Wedding Singer for sure.
Interesting.
Well, I don't know.
Wedding Singer got a 39.93% and it's ranked 71.
I was doing so well until the back half of this.
Sure.
Well, so the bonus, it's okay if you don't do well during the bonus. So it's all right.
You're not penalized so much for it.
So what was the question again? Do you think I did well?
How do you,
think
what
you're
do you
in
think
the,
you
yeah. Now that we've gone through it.
Do you personally think you did well on
personally,
this episode of this podcast?
Personally, it's 52, but I would give Guffman a 67, right? We've probably gotten the 60s.
Okay.
Maybe. I can tell you exactly how you got right now. Out of a total possible 2,323.75 points, Waiting for Guffman has scored 1,340.75, giving it a percentage of, say it with me, 57.70%, making it the 45th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Scott Pilgrim versus the World, but gayer than Gremlins.
Hey.
Hey.
I think this is gayer than Scott Pilgrim.
Well, Scott Pilgrim has actual out gay people in it, which really helps. That.
Sure.
So, and more than one, I believe, too.
Hmm.
So that does help.
What is the prize for number one?
Our enduring
you get mentioned
love.
Every week.
Mentioned every week. That's good.
That's pretty good. Female trouble needs the help.
Yeah.
It's only on the Criterion Collection.
Oh, boy.
Well, Josh... thank you so much.
Thank
for
you. What a delight.
Thank
you. Yes. Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Plug, Mark, we're in a pandemic. No, I'm just kidding. I think you did a good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, my plugs are, John, you're very funny. No.
Okay.
Mark,
wow.
Great. I really thought you controlled the pace of it.
Thank you. Finally.
Well, who knows? Hey, if UCB comes back, you can probably catch me there. But my.
Is there anywhere to catch your short film, Sperm?
It's doing its little run at the festivals, and then I'm going to release it to the world. Okay, so check out my Instagram.
Sure.
Promos are so sad to me. Okay.
You're the one making it sad. It was perfectly fine.
It's amazing. Well, at my Instagram at Jay Breckus, I'll probably be,
we're going to cut all this. Don't worry.
Yeah. I'll release the date of it when it drops, like the kids say.
Oh,
yeah.
Like Billie Eilish over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So whenever it drops, just follow me for that.
Great. Keep an eye out for Josh Breckus's Sperm.
All right.
Yeah.
And on that note, we'll be right back. We're back. That's fun.
It was a lot of fun. It was nice to watch that movie again. It's been a while since I've seen it.
It just flies. Don't you just love an hour and 25 minute movie?
You sure do. I even, as I said, dusted off my DVD and watched a bunch of the extras.
That's fun. It's crazy. Like, none of the songs are on Spotify. I looked it up afterwards.
Oh, that is weird.
That'd be fun. Like, Nothing Ever Happens in Blaine.
Right.
The stool song. Great for a workout. High intensity. Where's the dance?
Get you moving. Get stuff going. Absolutely.
No, it's a classic. A modern classic, right?
Yeah, I mean, 97, that's modern, sure.
Why not? We all love it.
Do you know what else we love is hearing from you guys. And so we got an email recently from Jono. It says, thank you. And Jono writes, hello. I just want to say thank you for bringing joy and laughter every week. And since I joined the retirement plan twice a week. And since I joined the retirement plan twice a week. that's that read. Now I can't help but judge everything I watch with your Byzantine scoring system. And that makes life extra fun, doesn't it? Week after week, each guest brings a unique flavor of humor along with a particular chutzpah to play that is total hoot to listen to, and the very creative ways some find to bend the rules, heaven. I'm glad Mark's hatred for mermaids is slowly dissipating, and I dream of a publication that contains all of his list of campy things found in the reviewed movies. And then they say, I want to reiterate the perfect marriage that is listening to Two Old Queens while completing household chores, like listener Deirdre from a few months ago. I also want to give a shout out to Eugene Cordero's son for his now iconic I Can't Hear That, along with some recent highlights like Big Dipper, Andrew Farmer, and Sam J. Miller. Sorry for the long email, but one last thing. Dare I suggest a couple of guests who I believe would be great additions to Two Old Queens? Indie pop star Bright Light, whose favorite movie is Romy Michelle's High School Reunion, and also Anna Matronic, who would bring her very unique flavor of camp to the whole endeavor. Once again, thank you. Well, thank you, John.
Fabulous. We'd love to have both those people.
I'm glad that we're helping people clean their living spaces.
Living spaces. Remember that? Yeah, that's so nice. We glad. Yeah, I never thought of someone listens to me while they clean their toilet. Usually someone's cleaning their toilet because of me.
Well, thank you, Jono. We'd love to hear from you guys. If you would like to, you can email us at twooldqueens, twooldqueens@gmail.com. Also, if you go to iTunes and rate and review us, that really helps the algorithm and people find the podcast. We really appreciate that.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at twooldqueens, twooldqueens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current scoring system.
Yes, we've got merch. If you want to buy some stuff and help support the podcast, go to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens. There's a lot of fun stuff you could buy there. And we've got a Patreon, another way to support the podcast. Two Old Queens, the retirement plan. You get more of this. So you get twice a week instead of just the one time.
Can you imagine?
Could you imagine?
Well, we do know our movie next week. And yes. Fun fact, there was an Easter egg.
Oh, my goodness.
Mentioned it was earlier planted. This week. It's the apple.
Sacred apple. Juju apple. Guju apple.
I own that one on Blu-ray. So I don't have Lady Blu-ray. I have the apple.
Can't wait.
It's a classic. All right, so we'll see you next time. Stay safe, everybody.
Goodbye. Boring.
More.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Connie Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Archer and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.